this really be the end? Should be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you'd like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning, coming up Monday on the program, Mike Durant, candidate, Republican candidate for United States Senate, recently announced will be with us, and for whatever reason, Dale Jackson. So make sure you tune in on Monday. A couple of guests to be named later. But joining us now, it's time for our returning champion, the segment we do every week with him, State Senator Chris Elliott of Daphne, on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I could not be any better. Good morning.
You want to kind of give listeners kind of a the bird's eye view of where you are right now?
Well, if you're a bird right now, you don't want to be seeing me. I'm in White Lake, South Dakota, hunting pheasant right now, and hunting ducks and pheasants. It's a great trip my father and I have been making for going on 23 years now to the same place and staying with the same farming family, some great folks, and just enjoying the great outdoors.
Good job. Well, and what's even more remarkable about that is that you are you're still making your weekly hit at this time. So that, it's impressive to say the least that you are able to do radio and that the true art of multitasking.
Well, I just hope your listeners forgive any gunshots in the background.
And just like I said, it adds to the ambiance. Let's kick it off here. Special session next week. I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm starting to hear a little more, I don't know, hemming and hawing about some of the districts. These guys are starting, I guess, no one's seen a full, complete map, but they're talking, these members are talking to one another, and they're starting to have questions. It will be more than just a mere formality when you guys go to Montgomery next week. Is that fair?
It is, and no question about it. You know, and this piece of legislation or multiple pieces of legislation are no different than what you would see, you know, necessarily with any other piece of legislation. And that is that there's some, you know, vote count going on right now to try to see where, you know, where the body is. You got to have the votes to pass it, or your legislation fails. And I think that the wise Senator McClendon and wise Representative Pringle of, along with leadership, is making sure that that while everybody may not be thrilled, that there are enough people that are yes votes in order to get this piece or any other piece of legislation through. And I suspect that those folks that know how to do this and have been doing it for quite a long time will get to where they need to be so that we can have new districts here in the very, very early part of November.
Let me ask you this: is this a concern, or is this a concern we need to, you know, be talking about? Where it seems there's the path of least resistance is to preserve Democrat districts where possible, even if that comes at somewhat of an expense to an incumbent Republican. Is there that part of the calculus maybe a little bit overplayed in some of this that we are, and I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but out of fear of legal challenges, out of fear of some Department of Justice action, that they're taking extraordinary measures to protect Democrat or a minority districts, even if it comes at the expense of a Republican district?
I don't know that I'd call it extraordinary. I mean, obviously, based on the case law and based on what's happened, you know, in the past, including the last, you know, the last time we redistricted where we had to, you know, come back and do it again, that obviously the legislature is trying to draw lines that comply with the case law and comply with what, you know, what will be upheld in court. But it's inevitably challenged, and I think they're doing that now. Having said that, I don't think I would call any of these measures extraordinary necessarily, but just rather, you know, looking at the relevant case law, taking that into account, and then trying to draw districts, you know, obviously population wise that work, and then work for, you know, for incumbents. I've heard Senator McClendon on your show before talk about, you know, trying to make sure obviously the incumbents still in their district, etc. But no, I don't see anything really outside the norm or extraordinary going on.
Well, I guess it's in the spirit of keeping community, quote unquote, communities of interest together. A lot of these Democrat districts are losing population, so what they're doing is they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. For example, they are taking Democrat districts reaching into Republican districts, and that's forcing these Republican districts, my understanding, and I've talked to a few members to say this is happening to them, into places that aren't really in their quote-unquote community of interest. Now, that could be just griping, complaining by these legislators that aren't happy with what they got. But, you know, I mean, for example, if you're in Mobile County and you're reaching across Mobile Bay and you're picking up part of Baldwin County that typically isn't in your, you know, your quote-unquote community, that would be to them an a quote-unquote extraordinary measure.
And I understand that. I do. I guess I'd look at that a little bit differently and say, you know, when you look at the population growth in Baldwin County alone, that's extraordinary, right? They're trying to stay in the confines of all of that. But I'll also say this, Jeff, I'm not on the redistricting committee. I've seen, basically what my district will end up looking like. And I guess I should probably speak more to that, since that's probably the extent of my knowledge. I mean, I think my district of Baldwin County, the district I represent, had to lose a lot of folks. Obviously, cleave a lot of folks is probably more like it when you start looking at the 37,000 or so overpopulation. So I was expecting to lose a lot of territory, and I've done that. I think we'll end up doing that. And then we'll see how it goes from there.
Well, I don't know if you could answer this question or not, but are you pleased with what you've seen personally with your district?
I guess as happy as I can be. You know, I mean, one of the things I've certainly had to learn in the legislature, you don't get everything you want. You're never going to get everything you want. And if you do, you're probably missing something. But I don't like, you know, I'm used to representing all of Baldwin County as a former commissioner, and it's weird for me to not represent folks that I've previously represented. It's just it's an odd feeling. They still call. I still want them to call, and they still need help with things, and I'm still happy to do that. But it's a different feeling to say, hey, you're not in my district anymore. You're in somebody else's district now. I get stopped at the ballpark or wherever and says, hey, I tried to vote for you. I'm trying to vote for you. You're not on my ballot. What's wrong? It's just different.
I'm joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. The other part of this special session, there's a lot of discussion about the possibility that there would be something to do with some kind of reaction, some kind of legislative action to react to the Biden vaccine mandate. We just had the Republican Party chairman on talking about how he's urging the legislature to act. Well, what do you think the odds are that we'll see something?
99%. Now, the question is, what happens with the something that we see? This is an urgent issue. It's an important issue. Every member of the legislature I know is just getting burned up on it. I mean, we are hearing from our constituents. We're hearing from folks that are concerned they're going to get fired tomorrow because they are being told they have to get the vaccine or they're getting fired. And I think it's something the legislature absolutely needs to take up. You and I talked about this last week. I think the governor needs to issue an executive order on it, much like they did in Texas. Governor Abbott did. And then I think the legislature needs to follow up with it soon after. I would like to do that in a regular session when we've actually had a chance to look at what the Department of Labor is putting out there and looking what OSHA is putting out there. You know, acting before that, we're legislating against something we haven't seen yet, and that can get a little tricky, and frankly, we can miss the target. I don't really want to do that, but I think that might be what happens absent an executive order. But I'm confident there will be multiple pieces of legislation introduced in the special that deal with this, and there should be.
Well, you say you get blown up, and I'm hearing that same story. But doesn't that mean that time is of the essence? Then maybe it's more appropriate for the governor to act individually, and then you could take it up later in January. But the urgency seems to be there.
No question about it. The urgency is there, and please, and I hope your listeners don't misunderstand when I say I'd rather the governor take the action. That's just to push the pause button until we can see what the feds are requiring through the Department of Labor and through OSHA. And then we can take a step back and shoot at that, right? Doing so now, we run the risk of missing what we're aiming for because we haven't seen it yet. The governor can handle that through executive order. But absent her taking action, the urgency is absolutely there. I think it's incumbent upon the legislature to act. I mean, people are genuinely worried about losing their job and trying to make a choice between either a deeply held religious condition that they have, that they shouldn't have to take a vaccine, or a genuine health concern that makes them very wary of taking this vaccine. And no one should lose their job over that. And that's something that I want to make sure the legislature deals with here in this special session coming up real soon.
Let's talk about something that's probably it's certainly a federal issue, but it's I gotta assume that it's really hitting your district hard with the service economy, particularly at the beaches, the tourist economy. But we have all these disruptions in the economy with labor or with the supply chains, with you know, things that are impacting people individually. You look at up and down the economy, it's a national problem, but it's certainly not Alabama's not immune to this. They were immune to some of the COVID-19 economic headwinds, it seemed, as we've seen now today, but this one appears to be a little different.
You're exactly right, and it's a little different because the Democrats in Congress and the president have ruined the economy, not just in Alabama, but everywhere, in very, very short order. I mean, it is really something to behold. You know, they have pumped so much free money into our economy here in Alabama, and then, frankly, into economies all across the country. I mean, heck, when we turned off the additional unemployment benefit here in Alabama, which we should have done, probably should have done sooner than we did it, but should have done sooner, and did, folks moved to different states where they could still get the enhanced unemployment benefit, and now they're living for free over there, which is impacting economies. But I am absolutely amazed at with the speed at which the Democrats have absolutely wrecked this nation's economy and caused supply issues, labor shortages, just increased number of people on the federal dole. It is really something that is just something to behold, and a good example of how elections have real consequences.
Well, and just what we're beyond the tour season, obviously we're in late October, but do you hear about that? I know you're hearing about the vaccine mandates, and then that's, I would think, would have a problem with some of these labor, create more of a problem with some of these labor shortages, as people will just walk away from their jobs. But furthermore, you know, they're putting this part of the state in a real pickle, it seems.
There's no question about it. And I have heard from labor, folks having labor problems, businesses. And of course, I'm a small business guy, you know, I've owned and operated several small businesses, but I'm hearing from them. From retail and hospitality in particular, as you point out, construction, and even our advanced manufacturing, healthcare workers, et cetera, are screaming that they cannot find people. And one curious thing, and this is where, you know, good conservatives look at markets and how markets work, is that businesses that aren't required, you know, or they're basically pushing back on the federal government and saying, you're saying we have more than 100 employees, we have to do a vaccine mandate. But if we do that, we'll lose 20, 30, 40% of our workforce tomorrow, and they won't come back. And if they don't come back, then what are we going to do? How are we going to operate? And we'll take our chances with the feds. So at the end of the day, I think that's one good example of the market working and employers realizing, hey, we got to keep our employees happy, and we got to keep them here, and certainly requiring a vaccine mandate isn't going to work.
Yeah, because the vaccine mandate becomes, I guess, unenforceable. The worst thing they could do, perhaps, maybe they could send them a fine or something, an invoice for a fine, and that could cripple a lot of businesses. But it also creates the – I mean, all these different things the federal government's doing creates, if anything, maybe a black market economy or something like that, that there are going to be consequences here, I think, longstanding.
You are exactly right, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the black market stuff. I mean, it is really, prices are so crazy on supplies, finished goods right now, raw materials right now. Heck, we're seeing it in school lunch issues. I don't know if you've heard about that or not, but you're seeing it in, you know, CNP programs across the state where they can't get a hold of juice for the kids because the market is so screwed up right now. because of these actions the Democrats have taken, and trying to figure out how to address that. It is unbelievable how quickly this much money has completely ruined and messed up the basic tenors of our free market economy.
I will get you out of here on this. Is there anything the state of Alabama can do? Is there any action, any tool in the tool chest that would help at least start with alleviating some of these problems?
Well, I think so. I mean, first of all, we've got to get our CMP folks and the state education people out from underneath their existing contracts. We've got to figure out a way to get away from some of the federal regulations that are not doing nothing but exasperating this stuff. So those are things that we've got to look at right now. And I'm hopefully, frankly, through some executive orders, you may see some of that happening here pretty quickly. The governor's on it, and I'm proud of her for being on it. And hopefully you'll see some of those actions taken pretty quickly.
Senator, as always, we appreciate you making time for us, particularly on what it sounds like a very busy morning today. But we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great weekend.
Say, Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, our returning champion. We got to get another timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.